Blog Talk Radio.
Mary Hawkins, is you on the air tonight? Mary Hawkins. Mary. 6294. I know you're on now. If you cut your thing on, she might not have cut it on. Okay, Mary.
Yes.
What's the noise
yes.
in your background? I hear noise
what?
In your background.
No, you don't hear no noise in my back. I ain't got no noise in my background. That was my TV, and I just turned it down.
Oh, okay. I just want to know. Read Psalms 23.
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
I want to thank you for that reading. We're back on the air. like you said, you had said something must happen to the cable. Like you said, they put it back together and apologized for 2 days that we missed. I want to thank you for that reading, because I thought you might not come on the air to see, but I'm glad that you come on to see that we was on the air. Tonight, I want to talk about Atlanta, Georgia, where all those people have lied and now they're being indicted. The serious thing about that, them lies, likely got some people killed. Because they thought they had stole the election. That didn't happen. And what happened over in Hawaii, for all those people, 1,000 people have died. I know you've seen that. 1,000 people have died in Hawaii. And I was talking to Pearl today. I think I talked to Pearl today. And I was telling her about some things that she had to do in order to get the money for her husband. Now, I want to explain this because it explained to me. If you are married or you're not married, and your husband go overseas and he got to stop down in Texas before he go over there, and then he go to Texas and he come back. The lady told me that the governor and also the president have fixed where each person that went down there have money coming. The widows got money coming, but they got to know how to get it like that. I want you tonight, as we just coming back on the air, Pearl, I want you to read Psalms 15, and I want you to read Psalms 23 and Psalms 71. I want to say happy birthday to Lisa's mother down in Monroe, Louisiana. Happy birthday to her and her family. And happy birthday to the young man up in Minnesota that called me. And happy birthday to Coach. Happy birthday to you, Coach, right there in now. And I want to tell Lisa, I don't know if she's on or not, we're back on the air tonight. And as we're back on the air, we just want to share some things with you. And we're going to talk about tonight, I think I'm going to talk about the gods. Yeah, the gods. I'm talking about the gods the Egyptian gods. Talk about the Egyptian gods. Some of you said, what you talking about, Bishop? The Egyptian gods, and I talk about how they stole Christianity. When I tell you how they stole Christianity, don't get scared. When I tell you they went to Kemet, went to and stole all this stuff, and you don't know how it was stolen. It was stolen. And you got to know how to bring it back. It was stolen. A lot of stuff was stolen. And you wonder why that you're behind, because ain't nobody told you that stuff was stolen. Okay? See, and if you don't know it's stolen, how do you know to deal with what's going on now? So if stuff was stolen, now if you know stuff was stolen, you say, well, Bishop, how it was stolen? It was stolen from us, and when it was stolen from us, it took a loss from us. And when it was stolen from us, and we lost a lot of weight. See, and then when you lost weight, Okay. And you lost your way, and you didn't know which way to go. And lots of things happened with us that we lost our way from going to where we need to go, okay? And that's what happened. And see, when stuff like that happened to you, you wonder, well, Bishop, what happened? Why we lost our way? See, sometimes you lose your way, and then you don't know how you lost your way. And then you wonder what happened that you lost your way. And then you said, I don't know how I lost my way, but I lost my way, and I want to know how to find my way. Put the music on. And that's one of the things I talked about.
my main point here is that none of us should get into this dialogue of my slave master was better than your slave master, inasmuch as all of them were bad. But each one of us had to deal with a given situation. And all of the situations were bad. And all of the situations were humiliating. And none of the slave masters were kind. And none of them did us any favor. And none of them favored one over the other. And understand that the slave ships did not bring any black Americans or any Caribbeans out of Africa. They were only African people, and all of them had to become what the system made them become.
Joseph. The Romans say Man, we got to get up from religion. Like the Hebrews over there. Them niggas is cutting up. The Roman government say, hey, we conquered Greece. Greece conquered Egypt. And Greece plagiarized and got all that stuff out of Kenneth. But now we conquered Greece and we got all this shit logged down to the T and lying around. Won't you get some damn scholars and go up in there and translate that shit and make our own damn religion? So they got the same shit the Hebrews got. We got the Egyptian stuff, but at this time it's in Coptic form. Meanwhile, they got a group of people called the Gnostics that came out of Alexandria, Egypt, is worshiping the same Christendom of this religion. Rome was like, no, we're going to get our stuff, but we're going to tailor it a little bit. We're not necessarily interested in the spiritual ramification. We're interested in world domination through it. But we want to keep the same scripture so we can go into scripture and see the spiritual connotation, but we want a religion that, number one, we can rule motherfuckers with. So they get Paul, Josephus, and a whole bunch of these scholars. And you must understand that a scholar, or you must understand a priest at that time, was more advanced than your highest PhD in the society of nuclear physics. Mm-hmm. He got shit on no priest in the ancient world. Mm-hmm. Bad boy. He make a nuclear physicist and a PhD look like a damn dumbass. So these people put some shit together. It's put together. Because we're talking about scientists. It's putting these shit together. So they got Paul, Josephus, who was a Hebrew that defected and started working for the Jews. For the Romans. Paul was a Roman citizen. They go in and they get all these texts that they carved out of Egypt by Greece, but they now control Greece. And they put together the New Testament out of this ancient Coptic and Gnostic material, which before it was Coptic and Gnostic, it was Metaneta. And they know, and they put all these elements together in it. Meanwhile, they got these other group of people over there, and they bust out saying, we got Christianity. These other group of people over there, the Gnostics, say, wait a minute, hey, wait a minute, we got that shit too. That ain't your shit, that's our stuff. So what they do, they kill them all off. Like, you know, in the movie they got with a robber, you got two people, he'll take one man's stuff and steal it and then kill the man off. So they kill him off and nobody knows. So they killed these people off and took their shit. But it was a modified stuff, and the reason why they had to kill the people off, because the people was like, wait a minute, that's modified. You got some controlling stuff there. We got the true stuff over here, and that's what this stuff here is, that they found in 1945 in Egypt. All of it has an Egyptian origin, you know. But it's interesting they found this same stuff in Egypt in 1945. So meanwhile, they killed this is called the Nag Hammadi Library of the Gnostic Texts.
Is that different?
Yeah, the Dead Sea Scroll was found in 1948. This was found in 1945. This is more advanced than the Dead Sea Scroll. It's more of it. It's more advanced than the Dead Sea Scroll. We talking about some shit, and it can give you a million years worth of history in about 4 or 5 pages. How advanced it is. We talking about each line of the damn text might scan 100 years within a fucking sentence or two. How advanced it is. That's the theoretic thought I'm talking about. That you couldn't get from the Book of the Dead, but once they translated into Coptic, we get what they were really talking about. And that's when this subordinate deity comes up. But anyway, they bring out this whole Roman thing, and all of a sudden, they got an instrument that they can dominate the world with. Because they have Paul and them is going in and tailored the shit that it can be used for ways. But Paul and them, the one that they did, was so, it was close to the original, so they had to do the conference of Nicaea and eight other conferences to modify it. But what we're talking about, what is the difference between, you ask, but what would be the difference between the modern-day Christian model and the ancient model?
Right.
The Christian model, the modern-day Christian model was tailored to take advanced concepts that goes on the inner workings of the body and make them literal. So they say sublime mythology makes grotesque history. So one thing they did to make it literal, they historicalized everything. And Mother Lord, that shit was historical. There was never Jesus over in the, what you call it. I want to ask you a question. Now let's look at this. You a black Hebrew. You ought to know whether he or a damn black man came and taught amongst your ass. Why is it that you can't find no black Hebrew or no modern day white Jew that bear witness to the Jesus thing? You think if the person gonna give you the Messiah, that's something hell to take. Everybody talk about a Jewish Messiah, but yet you can't find no Jew to bear witness to that.
That's true. Why is that?
Because the Jew knew, like all the other ancient people in the world. See, we're talking, the Jew knew that, first of all, that was some Roman propaganda of the Hebrew. He knew, just like the Egyptian knew, just like the Greek knew, just like the Mesopotamian knew, like the Babylonian knew, like the ancient African knew, that the Christ that is to come can only come one time in history. First of all, there's two things. First of all, Christ is a title. And we all are the living Christ because Christ is the level we can rise to. But the Christ, the true Christ, that is supposed to be the end all and be all, he can only come one time in history. And that's at the end of the world. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you why I know this. Because I've studied alchemy to know this. And you can quote me on this. When the true manifestation of Christ comes, the physical earth would cease to be. For the mere fact that we got a physical earth, whatever teachers or whatever couldn't have been the true Christ. The Hebrews knew this. The Hebrews said, wait a minute, hold on. We get our origin in Egypt. And the Egyptians knew like everything else. Horus comes. And Horus comes to kill.
Kill?
To kill.
Horus comes to kill.
The true Christ never taught love. That's some Roman bullshit to keep a people docile. All you have to do is just take my word for it. You go and study any, go to Greek and study Hercules. That's the Greek Horus or Apollo. You can study Horus or Heru. You find out something about Heru. I'm going to tell you what this is. You won't find no text in Egypt where Heru is talking about love. Heru does one thing and one thing only. He kicks ass. That's all he does. He kills motherfuckers. That's it. That's what he does. The Greek version is Hercules, which is the same story because it comes. He don't do one thing. From the time he born to the time he died, he kills everything in sight. Cleaning house. So if Hebrews knew, they knew that when they were talking about a person coming back, talking about all this love and all this kind of thing, they said the true Christ coming back to kill the world. You see what I'm saying? Get the house in order. He's the God of Ecclesiastes with the blood on the sword. He's the God of Revelation. They had blood dripping from him. But the Romans came in. Every time. That's the only time the true Christ can manifest on the earth. Otherwise, we are all the race of Christ. Christos anointed one. We all have none. But the Christ that we're talking about here is this seed that I was telling you. Now they have isolated this thing. They can tell you this stuff in science. In astrophysics,
when that seed manifests itself, it will explode everything on this planet and destroy the universe, and we'll go back to the original existence. If any man came saying he was the Christ, couldn't have been the real one. That's why the Hebrews to this day, whether even the converted ones, but they're copying the original black ones, never being witnesses of the Christ. And the Arabs over there, like, that's bullshit. The Egyptians, that's bullshit. That's Roman, that's Paul and them, because what Paul and them was trying to do was trying to get the monopoly on the Christ that everybody in the world had. You see what I'm saying? And the Romans say, if we can get the monopoly on this Christ, we can rule the world with this thing. So they literally tried to corner the market on the Christ that was all around the world. It is irrational for a Japanese man to worship a Jewish savior. It is irrational for a blue black African to worship a white man. Just as it's irrational for an Eskimo to worship a black man, where everybody in their mythology got the same Christ. But the Romans came in because they wanted to dominate the world. And they tried to get the monopoly on the Christ by saying that this is the only true Son of God. And basically this person just comes up and tell you how to do all this love and all this crazy thing. But guess what? The text came up in 1945. The true Christ, the one that comes from the Coptic Harvest, he don't say none of that shit. In the Gospel of Thomas, it was like, which is when they got out of the library, they took out a Thomas of Nicaea. It's found in these new in this text. In the Gospel of Thomas, he says, they say, Christ, tell us what kind of diet you want us to go on. He said, don't lie. Why do what you hate? Blessed is the man who eats the lion. Then the lion becomes a part of the man. Cursed is the man that gets eaten by the lion, and a man becomes a part of a lion. He goes on, they say, tell us about the kingdom of heaven. He said, you'll know the end when you know the beginning. Shit, you done lost the knowledge to the beginning. They told about tell about the end. He said, you know the end if you know the beginning. They said, tell us about the kingdom of heaven. He said, heaven is all around you, but you drunk. You can't see it because you're looking for these two eyes. You ain't looking with the spiritual eye. This person in here is a straight-up revolutionary. A no-holds-barred person. They don't even deal with the crazy stuff. You see what I'm saying? So clearly the text that they dug up in 1945 that dates back to Coptic Egypt and only in the Metadata is a totally different thing. And that's the original one before the Romans stole it and turned it into the New Testament. But don't get me wrong, the New Testament got all the stuff in it. It's just that for the first time you can't go by page for page, but you can go into the pages and find the same stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. The Bible is still a viable thing. You just can't go by from A to Z, but you can go into the pages and it's all there. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Yeah, that's the difference. You can't go by the basic theology that's drawn up from the Freedmen's Bureau, which is the way they was going to teach slaves. Mm-hmm. And that's what we still on now. Same old good old time religions, good enough for me. You can't go by that anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to go into the book. That's what Abba Elijah Muhammad said. And that's the difference. It's all there. Now let me show you the real mystery of the book to make the book come alive, come alive. Take the book. Take some old deity that you're supposed to follow. Take him out and put yourself in the role of the Christ. And that's what the book is originally for. It's a guidebook for your soul, which is the Christ. So the person that they're talking about in there is you, old wise
not be broken. John chapter 10, verse 34, 36. But means you're supposed to take the book. That's an esoteric book. And everywhere you see Jesus or the Christ, you identify that as your soul. This book comes alive. It's just when you start following it and thinking some cracker coming back or some black man coming back. Black man come back and I'm the cracker. So, okay, good. You take these bullets. Take these bullets. Take them. And don't be on that throat. Then maybe you have a chance. I might follow you. But the esoteric teaching was a mystery of the soul. The fact the book of the dead, which is a passage to the soul. And you are the Christ in it. So it's a role-playing book where you get through the journey. You go on the journey. And at the end of the journey, you become illuminated. That's the real method. And that's the difference between the Egyptian one and the other one. At this time, it's a scapegoat thing. They tell you to worship somebody instead of you becoming the God yourself. And that's the difference.
Now, can you remember what I cut you off from? You were in a continuation. If you don't, I ask you another
question. I remember. In so many words, what I was saying was, based on all of the ancient ones, they all talk about story of the God before this God. The God of the day or the God of the living means that in actuality, the God of these two eyes, which is a cheat, he creates this illusion around you, which is a hologram. The God of the dead is inside of you. Where's the God that died? Jesus died on the cross. Where's the cross? If you stand up and put your arms out like this, that's the cross. You get it? Mm-hmm. Now, where's Christ? Christ is on the inside of you, which is the third eye, on the cross. That's the cross that Jesus died on. That means that your soul is on the inside. It died long ago when you fell into the physical realm, and it will be resurrected again through the Kundalini energy. You see what I'm saying? That's what this thing is talking about. That's what this thing is talking about. You see what I'm saying? You know. So yeah. So give me some more questions.
You know, I want to see a look into this black freak. I have that picture that I want to use it.
Yeah. Give me
that.
You got it.
I have a lot inserted in. But you said the Etruscan.
The Etruscan.
The Etruscan.
Let me go through the history.
Yeah, okay.
Let me go through a little bit of history of that. Before I get to that, let me explain something else. The oldest system of worship in the world is called Typhonianism. That's why you ain't heard about it. So you got all these other people talking about the oldest, but the real stuff you ain't heard about is called Typhonianism, Obsidianism, and Draconianism. You hear the word? You figure they ain't no word, but the white boy tell you your idea is a little draconian. Well, if it's a word that don't exist, why is he using it in his doggone dictionary? And this is the cult of the dragon. The dragon is in the constellation of Draco. And that's the form of the Great Mother. All the other goddesses, the Great Mother, take it from this one Great Mother. But she has a son. It's the mother and the son. And that son is Sirius, the star system Sirius, known as Soot. Now, it's interesting, we had this draconian Typhonian stuff up until 1907. See, Gerald Matthew, when he went into the British Museum, he translated a lot of this stuff. You can get all this in his works. But after 1907, after he translated Book of the Beginning, 1881, and then Natural Genesis, 1888, and then finally in 1907, he does Ancient Egypt, Light of the World. All this Typhonian stuff disappears. They lock it down, and only people who've been have access to it is your secret society. And they go to Nubia with a lot of the Typhonian stuff, and they cover over 200 temples at the Aswan Dam, which had this Typhonian stuff in it, as well as they found Hebrew letters all over them temples. So it was the vested interest of the Jews to cover it up because it would show the African origin of the Hebrew. 200 temples.
Yes.
And you know the white man don't cover up nothing. Now, so you know it had to be some real serious shit for him to cover up 200 temples. And they digging in Egypt this day, and they got 200 temples up under the Aswan Dam, up under the river. That was Typhonian stuff. Now the Typhonian stuff of the great mother and the child developed, matured, and declined even before the first monumental phase of Egypt, where you, the big buildings of the dynastic Egypt. The dynastic who came in, which is your Ra worshippers and Osiris, and they replaced it. The Typhonians, and they wiped it from the monuments. And Osiris takes on the attribute of Soot, and Set becomes his nemesis, or he becomes his enemy. But Set is the oldest god in the world, and Typhonian attributes before it comes Typhonian, Osiris attributes before there was Osiris used to belong to Set. All this is in Jeremiah of Ancient Egypt, Lies of the World, as well as Albert Churchward's Evolution Origins of Christianity, Evolution Origins of Religion. So Set is the oldest primordial deity of all time, which is the star Sirius also. But Osiris becomes the star Sirius too, as well as all the other Egyptian deities. So one priesthood overtakes the other priesthood. So that priesthood, Apep, is the great dragon also. Apep was replaced by Ra. So the Typhonians at this time travel up into Mesopotamia and find Babylonia, Sumeria, Chaldea, and on into Greece as the Etruscans. But they were the
time period we're talking about.
Oh, man, we're talking about, the Typhonians were basically a pre-dynastic time period, so it's before 3000 BC, roughly. But Manetho says that there's 500 pharaohs in the dynastic period, which is 3000 years, and there's 800 in the pre-dynastic, which was 5000 years, and roughly he says we're talking about another 8000 years. The pre-dynastic is the Typhonian. It's the Typhonian. It's the pre-dynastic. So they travel up into Mesopotamia and all that, but they also, from Mesopotamia, they become the Phoenicians.
Now they are still all black people right now.
Ain't nothing ever was, nothing but black. These are the Phoenicians. And the Phoenicians travel into Rome, because the Phoenicians become Etruria, and Etruria becomes the Etruscans, or the Troy, the Trojans. You know, the Greek went to war with the Trojans. They were, that's the later day Indo-Europeans going to war with the Trojans and wiped out those Etruscans. But the Etruscans find Rome and Greece, which I showed the picture, and they find Rome and Greece and established the Greek language and the Latin language. And the first Greek mythology, Zeus and Apollo and Hercules, is a black mythology. It's just as valid. Now, Greek philosophy was stolen from Egypt years later, so don't mix up the time cycle. Greek mythology is black. Greek philosophy is plagiarized Egyptian philosophy. It's time cycle. When I talk about Hercules and Zeus, Apollo and Perseus, that's black. It's not later. It's just the Phoenicians' religion of the Typhonian stuff. So they say, well, what did the Phoenicians of the Etruscans worship? They had the religion of the whole Olympian deities of Greece, which the later Indo-Europeans come in and wipe them out and then take their shit. See what I'm saying?
Now, this time period would have been around when the Indo-European come in and would be like, 800,000.
It would be closer to the time. It would be it would be maybe a couple hundred years closer to the time that Greece comes into world history as this white 2,000.
Maybe around 500
BC. Yeah, you know, whatever the time thing is, like that. So it's no different than, you know, everywhere you go, you got your first year Dravidians. It's the same story. You got your Dravidians in this Kush in India, and then the Indus Valley, and then what happens? The Indo-Europeans come in, and they, because India is a big place, they don't wipe out all of them. But you have, further to the north, you get a lighter type of Indian. That's the caste system going on. You know what I'm saying? The Greeks never were all white. As a matter of fact, when you see the Greeks, now they got nappy hair.
Yeah,
if they got damn nappy hair in damn 99, then you know 2,000 years ago they had to be all black. So we still talking about primarily a black culture, even with the influx of the Indo-Europeans. You see what I'm saying? They never were all white. That's why Charles Finch say when the Greek have the Greece and the ancient Greek when they did the survey had a heavy sickle cell trait. So that means they had to be black. See the difference? And that's the difference on that. You see what I'm saying? So that the Etruscans is that particular group of people which the picture shows. I got a picture, I can go ahead and get it if you want.
No, add it in.
Add it in. Yeah, you got it. Okay.
I got it.
So that's what that is.
Okay, that's marvelous. If we look at then when the Egyptians, or when the Africans finally lose power, what was it within that culture that that gave?
I'll tell you what it means. Unfortunately, we're connected with nature. And nature goes on a series of cycles. And everything in nature, the force deteriorates and then regenerates. The problem why we got a problem with this is because still in our mind, we got the Judeo-Christian mentality that the earth started 6,000 years ago. So therefore, we figured at the time that Egypt came was relatively a short time. Let's put it this way. When the monumental Egypt that you know of as dynastic Egypt comes into play, it's over for the Egyptian. Listen to what I'm telling you. When dynastic Egypt, or what you know of, that was the lowest point for the damn Africans. Although this is the highest thing, the civilization that the white man can't even get to, that's the lowest point for us.
Well, why is that? Because what
I'm watching
is they built the pyramids.
Yeah, no, they built the pyramids
before that.
Way before then. Still saying. They built the pyramids and the Sphinx at the same time. Now, the Sphinx is carbonated 90,000 years. John Anthony Webb used to break that shit in the itself. The pyramid and the Sphinx was one contract. They didn't build one after the other. The Sphinx is carbonated 90,000 years. See what I'm saying? Something older than that. And that was built by the Typhonians. We got nasty because I told you that the Typhonians matured, matured and declined long before the first monumental phase of what you know as modern Egypt, or what you know of as the Egypt that we all study, which is dynastic Egypt, or Kemet. When dynastic Kemet comes, it's over. We are literally talking about, well, even if we go by the Nephilim, when he was conservative, we're just giving the Greeks something just the way they talk. They say, oh, you know, you don't never tell a person your original origin because they can dictate how far you go. saying that basically he had 8,000 leaders. Then they asked Manasseh, the high priest, well, what who used to rule before him? Because that's when a whole bunch of gods used to rule. The African-American community at that particular time, one of somebody else quoted that. What they didn't realize is the gods that used to rule that Manasseh talked about before 8,000 years, guess who they were? Guess who those gods were? So, the gods that used to rule, he said that there was roughly 8,000 years between pre-dynastic and dynastic. They asked him, who used to rule before 8,000 years? He said, that's when a whole bunch of gods used to rule. Who did they think the gods were? It's the same damn people. Now, let me explain what it is. They got a debate going on between the evolutionists and the Christians. Christians say the earth is only 6,000 years. The evolutionists say the shit is older than that. Both of them are partially right. Christians can back this shit up a little bit because the physical is about 8,000 years. Or something. The evolutionists say, no, we even got things that's even older than that. This thing is about 13 billion years old. As the USA Today came out and say, well, we calculated the origin of the universe at about 13 billion years old. But I happen to know based on the Dogon and even the Greek thing that the Earth was in the beginning before the universe was even founded. But I'll get back to that in a few minutes. I'm trying to hone in on what I'm trying to find out is how did a whole bunch of gods used to rule. Both of the evolutionists and the religionists are almost right, but they are not occultists or esoteric studies, so they don't understand the true history. You see, when the gods used to rule, you must understand that the earth was always here. It just wasn't always on the physical realm. It was always here, but as a gradual decline, it became physical. So when the gods used to rule, that was when the earth was not necessarily physical. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rudolf Steiner says that at one time the original world was a spiritual world. Mm-hmm. And basically the vibration slowed down. And as it slowed down, the composites came together, the elements came together. And at slow vibration, they came together and became more dense. And where our bodies became more dense. Our bodies became more dense. At one time, the spiritual world was just as visible as the physical, but the physical at that time was almost invisible. It was a little faint dim. As the vibration slowed down, the physical world became more vivid and more visual, and the spiritual world became invisible. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, those particular times are during the times of Laboria. They got several names. Hyperborea, Terra, Alcaboria, Atlantis,
yeah.
Moon, all of that.
Yeah.
They were semi-physical times.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And we used to use, when you ask the question, how we used to use all of this. We had the full function of all our energies, the chakras, the third eye, the kundalini, and all that. After we had the full function. After we came into the physical, we still had the full function. But the ancients understood one thing, that they had a race before time. They had a race against time. They knew that one day that these particular spiritual records that is in our DNA would shut down and would go offline because as time went on, we started deteriorating. We had to become more dormant. So what they had to do, they had a race between time. That's what they built Egypt for. They built Kemet to record as much records as they could before this shit shut down and before our senses shut down and we just come down dumbfounded. Now, all this stuff comes together. Because I often wonder if the Africans was just as advanced as the advanced and all that shit was in their head. It's just that they sent an expedition during the time of Atlantis at one part of the earth, mainly the center part, to fill all the monuments so they can have when all this shit shut down. When this stuff start going dark.
So in the center part of Africa,
they built the monuments so that they can have the monuments of records of all the knowledge they knew once this knowledge starts to shut down because they had become more and more distant to the physical.
All right. Now, see, we were talking on the wind. I want you to throw that in there. You were saying that that is why all the stuff is...
Yeah.
But what you're saying is very heavy.
I documented that the thrice great Hermes, her medical, by Copenhagen, Walter Scott, and G.R.S. Meade, as well as the new Nag Hammadi Library, which is the book called the Nag Hammadi Library, they dug up in 1945. That prophecy in there about you being in a land and the white man will be better than you. That prophecy is also in the one they dug up in 1945. So we do know that we can trace it back almost 5,000 years that they knew that one day they was going to go into slavery. If we know that you got 5,000 years to prepare for something that's going to happen, you got a long time to prepare. And they did prepare because they had the advanced knowledge to know the future. Now, if we have the documentation, and I just gave you some, there's tons of it, they did prepare. Even in India, they say one day a man will eat the sacred cow. They have a document over there. But they did prepare. So now, here we are in 1999.
Pyramids and all of these, the Valley of the Kings, the tombs and everything,
yes.
All of this is a part of their preparation.
All that. All your temples. All of the palaces. Then they gave it out to the world. They gave the Greeks some, they gave the Romans some, they gave it all to the world. So they knew that later on if the white man would come, if he didn't have no knowledge, we would never get the knowledge back. Now let me explain something, let me go in this thing here. If they prepared, when we look back in 1999, why, if they prepared a way for us to get out of this, why we don't see no economic blueprint on how to get out of this?